Book of Mark, chapter 5. Now, Book of Mark, Book of Matthew, and Book of Luke, the story what we are going to study today, given in three books. But in Matthew, it's a little bit different. So we will be studying it, and some people might be having questions why Matthew says different than the Mark and Luke. Let's start. Mark chapter 5, verse 1.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, and in the tombs, crying, and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not.
Okay, now here we'll stop. If you remember last week, we learned Jesus and his disciples, they were going at the side. And Jesus calmed everything down, and now they went to at the side. As soon as they're coming out of the boat, here we see the man with the demon spirits. Disciples might be thinking, one trouble after another trouble. Now, this trouble was not easy trouble, because when you read about this man was not ordinary man. He was demon-possessed, not one, but thousands of them in him. Matthew says there were two men. Let's go and read the Matthew, then we'll come back. Matthew chapter 8. Starting from verse 28.
And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, an herd of many swine feeding.
Okay, now we'll stop here. I just wanted to point out, Matthew said there were two people, and two of them were crying the same way like this man was crying, asking Jesus. In Mark, this man says to Jesus, You are the Son of the Most High God. So now, someone would say, how come Matthew says there were two men, and Luke and Mark says one man? I was just thinking, when you read in Luke, he says this man demon possessed for a long, long time. He was living naked, living in the tombs. They used to chain him, and he started breaking the chains. They used to keep him surrounded, all kinds of ties. He will break those ties and chain and everything. And he will go in that kind of mountain area. And he used to take the stone, beat him up, cut him up. And he was like a wild man. Now, I don't think this man was very skinny man. So he was a strong man. And so everybody was concentrating on him. Even though there might be other demon-possessed people, they didn't pay attention to those people. But when Jesus Christ is coming, when the demon-possessed man came, the other person who might be demon-possessed for a short period of time, and might be he thought a good opportunity, when Jesus Christ is coming, he also came, and the Matthew mentioned these two people. But the Mark and Luke is concentrating on this very strong demonic man. And so the story goes that this person, living in the mountain, always night and day, and cutting himself, when he saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus. People were afraid to go on that way because nobody can go in that person's territory. But when Jesus Christ coming, he coming running after him, and go back to the Mark chapter 5 verse 7. And he says, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" And he begged him, saying, "Don't torment us," or "Don't torment me." So devil was afraid that Jesus Christ will be sending him to hell. Mark chapter 5 verse 8.
"For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country."
Okay, here he says, don't send them away out of the country, or don't send me to a hell. And so these demons were afraid that they do not want to leave this region. Maybe he was having good time in this area, so he didn't want to go. And so they are asking him, asking Jesus, where they should be going. Start reading from verse 11.
"Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them."
Now see, there was a one man, and now he says that devils asked him, request him, "Please send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." I was just thinking, there are other things, you know, the sheep and goats and cows and all other animals are there. But they decided to go into swine. The swines are the unclean animal. So the unclean spirit wants to go to unclean animals. And so they were saying, please let us go in there. And they were not one or two. He says, they were at least 2,000. They say swine, but the pigs were there. And so he said, let us go there. And so Jesus Christ would have said, no, you cannot go there. You go wherever you came from. Don't come to this person anymore and go where you came from or get out of this person. But these people ask him, we want to go to those swines. So Jesus Christ says, okay, you want to go? Go ahead. Read verse 13.
"And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea."
Now, can you imagine the people who are taking care of these swines, and all of a sudden they became crazy like, and they start running, and not one. Maybe one person had 100, or one person had 200, and maybe so many other farmers. And all the farmers, pigs, swine came together and started running into the same direction. Some of the movies, they made this kind of scene and showed how these pigs are running and going into the water. But you can see how much trouble this farmer or cowboys, whatever they say to whoever keeps the pig, I don't know what they call them. But all these people might be so panicked. They would have said, stop, stop, don't go, but they are not listening to them. And they keep on running. And when they're running, they see they are in the mountainside. When they're coming, all the pig drown in that water, altogether 2,000 pigs. Can you see how many pigs died and how much money they lost? So that's why these people start thinking, what happened? They had no clue why this happened. So they're going to go to the city and finding out what's happening. Let's read a little further.
And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
Now, can you imagine? These people, they lost their pigs. They were searching what is the cause, what is the reason. And when they came, some of them might be servants. And they might have come and say to their master, you know what, we were taking care of our pigs and they ran. I don't know what happened. And so everybody's, I don't know how many farmers, there are 2,000 pigs. So I'm counting at least a couple of hundred people taking care of them. All of these people going to their neighborhood and finding out what's happening. And somebody might have said, you know, that demonic person was going crazy. Now he's sitting with Jesus and listening to him in his right mind and wearing clothes and something like that. So those people might be afraid of him. But when they come in here, it says when they saw this man sitting, these people were afraid. Can you imagine? They were not afraid of swine. They were not afraid this wise swine went and got killed. But they are afraid this man, demon possessed, 2,000 demons in him. No man can tame him. No man can control him. They were not afraid of him. And now when he's in good mind, they said, we are afraid of him. We are afraid what happened in our city. So this is what we see. People do not have value for the mankind. They have value for the animals, but not for man. They are thinking, all our pigs are gone. Thousands of dollars we wasted. But they are not thinking, if this one jungly man was doing so many bad things in our city and town, I don't know how many ladies he killed or how many men he killed or how much damage he did is not written. But this is demonic man. He can go to anybody's house. Where is getting his food? He can go to somebody's house, take the food and run to jungle or whatever. So he might have doing so many damage to the whole city and country, they didn't care. But they cared about their business and their money. The word of God says one man's value is more than the whole world. That's what we have to learn. To get one person saved or one person come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is more than the whole world. So this man is in right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. I don't know what Jesus Christ was teaching, but he was listening to Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 16.
And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts.
Now see, these people came, in another Gospels, you have to read Mark and Matthew. This man also testified to these people, telling how I was and now what God has done for me. And so they don't care about what testimony. Other people who saw, they were telling good about this thing, but they didn't want to hear anything. And they are saying, Jesus, please go out of our town. We don't need you. Can you imagine? There might be so many people demon possessed. And now this 2,000 demons went to those pig, and those pig drowned. Now those evil spirits still in their country. They might be going and possessing so many, 2,000 people more. But they don't care if the demon can come and Supposed there's 2,000 other people, but we don't want you to be here. And so they told him to get out of the town. And so this man, within a split second, completely in right mind, wearing clothes, understanding everything, and he wants to now follow Christ wherever Jesus goes. See what this man says. Please read 18.
And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, hath had compassion on thee.
Now here, this man asked Jesus, Can I come with you? He says, No. Here we read in verse 19, he says, Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things that Lord has done. Somebody will say, How can this demonic person has a friend? But he might have previous friend, he might have good family, and they never saw him in right mind. Luke says this was happening for a long, long time. So this man was out of his mind for a long time. So we don't know he was married or never married. He had mother, father, brother, sisters, and they never got a chance to talk to him like a normal person. But this man didn't care. He said, Nobody cares about me anyhow. I'm going to go with Jesus. Jesus says, Go back to your family. Tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so this man didn't argue. He said, Okay, I'm not going to tell only my family. I'm going to tell the whole world. So this man went to tell his family, and he went ahead of Jesus, where Jesus Christ was going, because Jesus Christ came and he returned. Now he's going other way. Now when he's returning the other side, this man went ahead of Jesus, other side, and did the so much advertisement. Let's read the verse 20.
And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea.
See, when Jesus, before he went there, near the seashore, already people gathered. How? Because this man went and told everybody, and so listening to this man's story, everybody came to see Jesus. Jesus is just coming out of the boat, but he didn't come out of the boat. He stood there because so many people are there, and he started preaching to them. And so you can see one man can make a difference. He can go and tell the whole world what Jesus Christ has done. God is doing miracles for us every day. But we are not telling other people. We are ashamed. Now look at this person. This situation was not ordinary. He has to say, I got demon, not one, but more than 2,000. I was naked. I was wounded. I was jungly, not shaving my head, not taking bath, and I lived like that years and years. And nobody cared about me. But Jesus healed me. Now I'm with my right mind. He can read, write. He can have a good clothes. And he can go and tell other people. So this was a good testimony, and many people came to see Jesus Christ, and already people were rushing and people were coming. Here, 22.
And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet.
Now, this Jairus comes. He also got a news, and he came. This man is not ordinary man. He is the ruler of the synagogue. That means he is like a priest. He comes and worship Jesus Christ. Now, worshiping Jesus Christ, that means you have to know that he is God. Otherwise, in Jewish people, they will not worship somebody like that. Now, if you're reading the Matthew, there Matthew says a little bit different, but I want to make that clear so people will not get mixed up. Here he says he came and worshiped the Lord. And 23rd verse, you read and then go back to Matthew.
And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.
Okay. Now here this Jairus, the priest or the rulers of synagogue, comes, worship Jesus Christ, and then request him, please come, my little daughter, she's dying, she's very sick, and he has only one daughter. And she's very sick, please come and lay hand on her and heal her.
And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment.
Okay, now see here the situation. Jesus agreed to go to Jairus' house. Now he's going because that daughter can die any second. So he decided to go to his house. And many people were touching Jesus, pressing on him, and touching to get healed. That means Jesus had the hard time to go faster. And here this man might be thinking in his heart, why Jesus is not hurrying? My daughter is dying, and he is taking his own time. Here lady comes and touches his garments, and she gets healed. And Jesus says, who touched me? Now just think, that man sitting here, who touched? Forget about. Come and heal my daughter. My daughter is dying here, and you sitting here and saying, who touched? And now you're wasting my time. But the man didn't say anything. Now we are going to look at this lady's story first and then go to Jairus. Now here the lady's story. Lady was sick for the 12 years. Now, different books, means Matthew, Mark, Luke, if you read both three books, they say it's your blood. But in Mark, he says this was a disease. When you say plague, it's a disease. She had some kind of disease. So she might have some kind of cancer and bleeding. She was not getting healed, and she was getting weak. She spent all the money she had, and she went to every doctor in town. And the word of God says, instead of she's getting better, she became worse. Now in this condition, what you do? You lost the money, you went to everybody, and instead of getting better, you're getting worse. So she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Jesus is in my town now. And I'm just believing in my heart. Jesus might be not 5-10 miles away from her. Jesus purposely may be going from her doorsteps, close by, knowing that this lady is thinking to touch him. Even though he says, who touched me? He knew everything. So he might have gone so close where the lady's house is, maybe a couple of feet away from her house. And so she decided, I'm not going to go to Jesus and say, please heal me, and this is my disease and this and that. I believe I can just touch his garment or touch his just thread of his tassels or thread. I will be healed. And that's the kind of faith she had. She said in her mind, I'm going to go and I'm going to touch. And she doesn't have to go somewhere higher. She might be crawling on her feet. Nobody's looking at her. and I'm going just to touch his garment, and she might be waiting for Jesus to go. And so I believe Jesus purposely going close to her so she doesn't have to run because she was so weak and tired and dying. So she touched the garment of Jesus Christ. Let's read.
For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague.
See, she was healed of that plague, that is disease. So she got healed, and she felt good. I am thinking, as soon as she touched that thread of the garment, some kind of energy came to her. Not only she felt that bleeding stopped, but she got a lot of energy like never before. And she was completely healthy woman, strong lady, and she thought, now nobody can even recognize me. So she just stood there, completely healthy, and walked away. And so she thought, nobody's going to notice me. And whatever she said, according to her faith, happened to her. But she didn't want to tell anybody. She wanted to keep it secret. She doesn't want anybody to know what her problem was. And Jesus Christ would have let her go that way. It was no harm, right? But he didn't want that lady to going without testifying what Jesus Christ has done. That's what it is. People come to Jesus or come to you for prayer. That's why I always tell people, when Jesus heals you, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell somebody? Are you going to go to church? Are you going to read the Bible and pray and change your life? And if they said, oh, I'm not sure, then I said, I'm not sure to pray for you either. You have to tell somebody. Otherwise, Jesus is not going to heal you for secret reason. And so this lady was completely healed and going away. And see what happens. Please read.
And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that a virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?"
Now see, immediately Jesus felt that somebody touched his cloth. Now here is saying his disciples, but you have to read in other gospels, Peter said, "Why are you saying this?" And then some other disciples start saying, "Why are you saying people are touching you, pushing you around, and you said somebody touched?" There are hundreds of people are touching. But he wanted to know, one lady said it in her spirit, "I am going to go and touch." That's the one he was looking for. Other people never thought that they're going to go and touch. They might have come to heal, and by mistake somebody pushed them or things like that. But she, this is the lady, said it in her spirit, in her mind, "I'm going to go, I'm going to touch the garments of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be healed." That's the lady he was looking for. So when he started looking around, the lady found out, if I walked away, I don't know how far she went, but he started looking. So she knew, I cannot hide anymore. So she wanted to come and tell. Let's read further. Verse 31.
And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth.
Okay. Now see, this lady is honest, God-fearing, and she was not ashamed what happened to her. She would have said, "Let me find out my name. If he calls me and if he tells my name, then I'll go. Why have to show myself?" But she realized that this is Jesus is not ordinary man. He is God. He knows everything. I cannot hide from God. Many people know that God knows everything and He knows everything about me, and still people do wrong thing, knowing that who cares what God is going to do. But here, this lady was afraid, and she came back. Not only came back, she told the whole story, everything what happened to her. Okay, verse, okay, 34.
And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?
Okay. Now here, when he says to this lady, he said to her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That means Jesus Christ did not heal her, but what? Cure her. Not only said, okay, go get healed and go, but he said, this sickness is not going to come back again. So that's what we have to tell other people. When Jesus Christ does something, he does perfect job. Now, some people said, you know, the God healed Paul, his eyesight, but still eyesight was bothering and this and that. And they are thinking he was not perfectly healed. But when Paul was saying, I'm writing these big letters and things like that, he was in his 90s. And that's the time he was saying, not when he was completely healed. So the people take any excuse to say, Jesus Christ cannot do perfect healing. We have to have a doctor. We have to have some medicine. Otherwise, without medicine, without doctor, this kind of sickness will not go. But this lady went to doctors, right? She went to every doctor. She spent everything. And nobody made her better, but worse. So this is the example we have. But if somebody trusts in Jesus Christ, God can heal. In our body, there are fighting germs are there. They fight. But what I'm trying to say, we have the example. The person spent all the money and didn't get better but got worse and just come to Jesus and touch the garment of Jesus Christ and be healed. Or Jesus is not dead. Book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus says, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our Jesus is here. If that lady could go to Jesus, Jesus is right now here. He's alive. We can touch him. He can heal us. And so this was the situation. And now, just think what the Jairus is thinking in his mind. How much time is wasted? And now my daughter might be dead now. When you're thinking like that, here comes the bad news. Go ahead. Verse 35.
While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?
The daughter was sick, and now time was wasted. Now daughter is dead. Because when the news came, Jairus didn't say a word. Read further. Verse 36.
As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe.
Now see, when the news came and the man says, Your daughter is already dead, he was calm. He did not cry, he did not say a word. Even the man came to give him a news, he didn't say to Jesus, Jesus just heard it. And Jesus answered not to that man, he answered to Jairus. Don't be afraid, only believe. And so Jesus Christ goes to his house. Let's read, verse 37.
And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly.
Now here we see Jesus Christ has the 12 disciples and other 70 disciples, but when he going to this man's house, he just take only Peter, James, and John, only 3 disciples. Now somebody say, why other disciples he didn't take? He wanted only people who can believe, who can trust, and who can not to get panic in this kind of situation. One time we went to pray for one person, and that person's hand and feet was swollen. And one of our sister went there and start crying, oh my God, look at your hand, look at your feet. I said, sister, please get out of here. You don't make this person more sick. Because when you go to the person who is sick, and he is on tubes, you cannot see anything, and somebody say, oh my God, look at your hands and look at your feet and this and that. Or somebody say, did you make the arrangement for the funeral? Because I don't think he's going to leave. All these things, when you start talking, that man thinking, I'm going to die. And even though he wants to leave, he will die. That's why I tell some people, when they are very sick, I say to them, read Psalm 118, verse 17. He says, I'm not going to die, I'm going to live, and I'm going to declare works of God. And I tell that person, repeat 3 times, 4 times, 7 times, and keep on thinking about this. And so, we should not be discouraging anybody, but encouraging. And so, he just took only 3 people, and he goes, and then he will be getting rid of more people. Verse 38.
And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying.
All these people, they were playing some kind of musical instrument, crying, weeping, and not only one, but whole village or city might be gathered, because this man was a ruler of the synagogue. Now, you know, when the police officer dies or a big person dies, you see how many people and how many cars comes. So he's the ruler of the synagogue, and his child is 12 years old and only one daughter. And so the many people felt bad. So many people are coming and crying and weeping and playing the music and making loud noise. Jesus Christ comes and says, this girl is not even dead. She's sleeping, but might be hours now. And they know the girl is really dead. But they start laughing and making fun of him that he doesn't know that the girl is dead. And so he said, everybody out. I want only mother and father be here. And so everybody were put out. So sometimes it needs the courage to tell people to get out. Sometimes you feel like they will be insulted. But it's better to insult it and then get disturbed. When you have a faith and some other person doesn't have a faith, you should not be taking that person with you for prayer. You should tell that person, I don't want you coming with me. Even though that person wants to come, say, no, please don't come. Because the Word of God says, 2 people agree. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. 2 people agree in touching anything, God hears the prayer. God doesn't want 2,000 people coming there to pray. 2 people. There should be agreement and there should be unity in prayer. If somebody says, I'm going to pray for that person and said, no, I don't think that person is going to survive. You're wasting your time. I would tell that person, you get out of the room. I'm going to go and pray. And so, Jesus Christ took only mother, father, and 3 disciples and see what he does.
And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose, and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment.
Now see, he comes, takes her hand, and said, little girl, rise. And that girl stood, and not only stood, the word of God says she walked. Can you imagine, this girl was not only sick now, but dead. Where the strength came? So you have to see, there is a power of God can touch you and heal you and make you like you were never sick. That's what happens. I told you one story. One time I went to pray for one man. He is 95 or 97 years old. And his daughter says, come and pray for him. I went to pray for him. And she might be thinking, say, Lord, let him die in peace. But I didn't go there like that. I said to this man, come on, get out of the bed and come down and let's pray. That man said, okay, I'll come down and pray. The family member said, don't do that. Do you know he's dying? I said, I didn't ask you. I asked him. So he came, knelt down, prayed, and just started walking like this girl. Walked and didn't die. After a couple of years later, he died. But the point I'm making, we have to have that kind of faith. When God heals you, he heals you perfectly. When she got healed, she got up and started walking, completely healed. And then Jesus Christ says, give her something to eat. And I was thinking, if Jesus Christ was said something, give her mango or give her bananas or give her anything, they will make a big deal that's the food you should have when you are sick. So he didn't say anything. He said, give her something to eat. Now this girl was sick for many, many days. Give her something to eat. Now when you are sick and ask doctor, what should I eat? And if you have a high fever, they will not tell you to eat hamburger, eat a boiled egg, or eat meat. They'll say take a soup or tea or things like that. But Jesus Christ says, give her anything to eat. When you are sick and you are not able to do anything and you don't eat anything, you get much more weaker. The word of God is saying, this girl completely healed, start walking and start eating. And read the following verse. Verse 43.
And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat.
Now when this girl got better, 12 years old, hundreds of people crying and shouting, and he says, don't tell anybody. Is it possible? It's not possible. Because this thing you cannot hide. This is, but indirectly Jesus Christ is saying, I do not want publicity. But to the other guy, he said, go and tell everybody whatever God has done for you. But here, he says, don't tell anybody. But he knew they are not going to keep quiet. They are going to go and tell. But all these people crying and weeping and all these people, and they laughed at him. But now, they got reason to laugh, real laugh, because this girl was completely healed. So what we're learning? See the faith of that lady who had issue of blood. See the faith of Jairus. He didn't give up. And see that demon-possessed man's act when he got healed. So here we see one person goes and publicizes, telling everybody what Jesus Christ has done. One person keeps the faith, doesn't matter. Somebody says your daughter dead and don't bother the master. Jesus Christ said, don't be afraid, have faith. So if we have faith in Jesus Christ, doesn't matter what kind of problem comes to your family, you don't have to be afraid. is Sebastian left from here. One day Sebastian almost died, or literally died. They were living next door to us. My daughter banging door and say, please come. And my wife, she says, Sebastian is dead, or she come. So my wife goes, she's a nurse. I was not panic. I just prayed. I said, Lord, you're going to do miracles. So my wife went, and she did whatever she wants to do. But he lived. They even rushed to the hospital, and instead of getting better, they were killing him. They did more problem. If you would have stayed home, it would be much better, because he came to life. When they took him, and they do spinal injection one after another and give him more problem.
Seven,
and they almost killed him. But point I'm making, I was not panicked. I was not crying. My wife didn't cry. Priscilla and her husband, they were thinking, finish, it's done. But thank God, he's alive today. So the point I'm making, once we are trusting in Jesus Christ turns science and wonders and miracles. We have a great God. I want you to know, any problem comes to our life is nothing greater than Jesus. Jesus can handle any problem you have. We get panicked because we don't have faith. But once we trust in God, there's nothing impossible with God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are a healer. You are a deliverer. And Lord, I pray for each and everyone who is sitting and standing in this hall. Let us learn the lesson. Our Jesus Christ is alive. This lady touched his garment and she got healed. We can touch him. He is right here. We can feel his presence. So we don't have to worry about any problems. Jesus is the answer for our problems. Lord Jesus, do miracles for us, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and we call it done. Amen,
amen.
And amen.